Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. Over the next few weeks, we'll be walking through a series called Holy Spirit People. This isn't about chasing experiences or learning religious language. It's about becoming the kind of people who live aware of God's presence, who learn to see others clearly and join the work of the kingdom in ordinary, faithful ways. We also want to make sure everyone listening knows about our upcoming Holy Spirit Conference taking place February 6th and 7th right here at Vineyard Campbellsville. You can check our website for more details at vineyardcampbellsville.org. Wherever you're listening from, we're so glad you're here. Let's lean in together.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. I just looked at my phone. I think it's a balmy 15 degrees out there. It's just, we're really getting there, you know? I think tomorrow is supposed to be 37. Y'all ready to put your shorts on? Yeah, go for a run, something like that. All right. Hey, my name is Adam. So happy to have you here with us this morning. Good morning to all you Vineyard people. And if you're online this morning, hello to you as well. Hey, I want to continue and actually sort of wrap up the series here that we're doing this month called Holy Spirit People. This is our series that leads into next weekend that Emily's already spoken about. Our Holy Spirit Conference, Ted and Josh are coming. Ted's bringing like 8 people with him from his church there in Chicago. And then I know that there are going to be people from every Vineyard in Kentucky. They're coming. So it's going to be a really fun weekend next weekend. The guys from Richmond are coming. The guys from Asbury are coming. Louisville and E-Town and all the Vineyard dudes. And I think there's some Vineyard folks from Tennessee coming as well. So you're going to look around the room. You're going to be like, well, who are these people? And it's your extended cousins from around the Vineyard, you know, and it should be a really good time. So if you see some people next weekend that you don't know, would you please be really nice to them and, you know, say hello, something like that. That'd be great. Here's what we're going to do this morning, though. I want to land this series, and the title of today's message is Holy Spirit People Are Hungry. That is the title of today's message, Holy Spirit People Are Hungry. And we're going to look at one passage here in just a moment, not quite yet, from Luke 11. So if you want to open up to Luke 11, you can. But I want to start here. Anybody in the room ever get hangry? Yeah, you know, we got one. Casey gets really hangry. Anybody else? Anyone besides Coach Casey? Anyone? Can solidarity? Greg and Kate? Hannah? Sorsha? Just point at someone. Yeah, you know, maybe you don't want to raise your own hand. You can just point at someone. Yeah, me too. Like, half the time, if I'm not doing well, if you just give me a couple calories, I'll do better. So if you're ever like, what's the matter with Adam? You know, or what's gotten into him today? It's probably just, I need a granola bar or something, you know? Yeah, that can happen, right? You get a little low on the blood sugar, and then all of a sudden, it just alters your whole world, you know? Just makes you maybe even a different kind of person. I don't know about you, but it does for me. A couple weeks ago, this has been at least a couple weeks ago, for some reason, the gym that I went to this particular day, it was like everything that Chad programmed was just legs. You ever have a day where it's just like you go to the gym and it's just only legs? And that day, I couldn't put enough food in my body. And I ate my breakfast and then I went and ate a second breakfast at Jeff's at 11. And then I ate lunch at 1. And then I had a snack at 4. And then I had dinner at home at 6:30. And then I had my normal snack at 9. And then I went to the refrigerator and I was just, you know, the big things of Greek yogurt. I was just shoveling Greek yogurt in my mouth. And I looked over at the stove to see what time it was. It was 10:09. And I was like, the only way out of this is just go to bed. You know, it's just, there's no way out of this. Just going to go to bed. Just so hungry. Finally, I just put the Greek yogurt down and went to bed. You know, just couldn't deal. It's just such a fire of hunger inside of me. Nothing could touch it. Just endless ocean of hunger. Here's what I've noticed about hunger. It has a way of focusing a person, doesn't it? You know, all of a sudden, everything else comes in. Like when you get really hungry, everything else kind of goes away, doesn't it? You just become intensely focused. Not only that, but hunger keeps us alive just at a real base level. The reason you're here is because you're a hungry person. And so there's something about hunger that's connected to health. And because hunger is a manifestation of health, you know, we kind of just need to underline that, because a lot of times in our culture, hunger gets associated with unhealth, doesn't it? But the truth is, like at a very base level, if you don't remain hungry, you're just dead. You know, you could be an unhungry person for maybe a few weeks, or, you know, you might be able to tough it out for 40 days. Some people can. But much beyond that, you just sort of go away. So here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about hunger in relation to the Holy Spirit. Because one of the features of Holy Spirit people is that they're hungry. There's this pull. There's a desire inside of them for God. There's a desire inside of Holy Spirit people for the Holy Spirit. There's an appetite for the presence of God in our lives. And if we're healthy Christians, and also if we're active, you know, that's why I was telling you that little story about going to the gym. You know, you increase activity, guess what goes up? Hunger. If you're a healthy person, you're hungry. If you're a healthy Christian, you're hungry. If you're an active person, you'll be hungry. If you're an active person in your faith, it will create a certain kind of appetite in you. If you're alive, you'll be a hungry person. You know what? If your spiritual life is alive, there'll be some sort of an appetite in your soul. Now, this is not just a, you know, meta spiritual principle, but I want to bring it down into the vineyard for a moment as well. This has been especially true in the vineyard here and then around the world. If you dig into vineyard history, for those of you who are maybe new-ish, this is not the only vineyard. There's about 500 vineyards in America, 550 or so, and then there's another 2,000 or 3,000 around the world, depending on whenever they count. I was talking to a guy the other day. We just found out there's like 65 vineyard churches in Indonesia that we didn't know were there. So, yeah, they just went over there, and they were like, oh, who are you? And they're like, oh, we're vineyard people. Where did you come from? I don't know. These other vineyard people made us vineyard people. So, you know, the numbers flex a little bit. But one of the things you'll find if you start digging into the original vineyard story. So if you go back and listen to the Wimbers, or if you go back and listen to Bob and Penny Fulton, there's a couple words that just pop up over and over and over again. One of the words is desperation. You'll hear them talk about the fact that they were desperate for God. They were burnt out Christians who were desperate for God. John Wimber would say, we were burnt out Pharisees and we were desperate for God. That's what John Wimber always said. We were burnt out religious professional Pharisees and we were desperate for God. And the other word you will always, always, always hear in a vineyard story is we were hungry for God. It felt like hunger and thirst. Those are vineyard words. Chances are, if you're here this morning, unless somebody just like made you come with them, chances are there's some part of your story that is rooted in a hunger for God. Chances are you're here because something else didn't work, or you just kind of got to the end of your rope, or regular religion made you feel drier rather than fuller, emptier rather than satisfied. And there's a word for that, and it's hunger, and that's a vineyard word, and I would like to say that's a Holy Spirit person word. Okay, so let's read the text this morning. Just a couple verses. We're not even going to read all of Luke 11, even though it all applies. I just want to keep us really tight this morning. Luke 11, 9 through 11, Jesus says this, really famous words. And so I tell you, keep on asking. The way this kind of works in the original language is ask and keep on asking. That's the way that you'd hear it if you were listening to this in Greek. So Jesus says, keep on asking, you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, or seek and keep on seeking, and you'll find it. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Everybody who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. And then he says this, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a great text this morning. What a great text. Here's what I want to do. I want to sort of break this apart four different ways, and we'll put it up for you note taker types. Number one, I want to talk about persistence. Then I want to talk about willingness and goodness. And then I want to underline sort of a paradox that we just read. I hope you noticed it. And then I want to land with talking about God himself. Before we get into this little outline, I just want you to notice that the text we read this morning, I chose it because it's a text about hunger. Did you notice that? There's food in there. Jesus talking about food. Jesus starts off talking about, well, you should ask, you should seek, and you should knock. You should go looking, get on a search. And then he switches gears and he's like, well, how many of you dads, if your son or if one of your kids asked for a fish, you'd give him a snake? And how many of you would, instead of giving an egg to your kid, food talk again, right? Food talk again. Instead of giving an egg, you'd give him a scorpion, right? And Jesus is like, well, that's not how God is. Instead, what he really wants to give is the Spirit. So I love this text because what it has inside of it is it has that human desire to search, which is a manifestation of hunger. Then Jesus immediately starts switching the language and goes into food talk, fish and eggs. And then he lands with the thing your father would really like to give you is the Holy Spirit. And so part of what he's sort of saying this morning is, it's like whatever appetite is in your life right now, whatever it is, God or otherwise, what you're really looking for is the Spirit. That's what you're actually hungry for. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But I want to start here in unpacking the passage. I want to talk to you about persistence because that's the first thing that Jesus is talking to us about. And maybe we can even put that up, Kate, just those first verses. The text begins with this note about persistence. Ask, seek, and knock. Jesus doesn't just say, well, you should ask. He says you should ask, seek, and knock. And he doesn't just say that, but he's like, you should just keep on. You should ask. And when you start asking, you should just keep on asking, and you should keep on seeking, and you should keep on knocking. This is a Jesus teaching on persistence. So part of what you would pull from this right away is that if you're a Holy Spirit person, you'll also be a persistent person. There's something about being someone who's inclined toward the Spirit that shows up like persistent. And isn't that how it works when it comes to hunger in a person? If you're hungry, what do you become? Persistent. How many of you have ever had a little baby? Little tiny 7-month-old baby. And when the baby is hungry, what does it do? How long does the baby cry? Until you feed it. Yeah. That's how long the baby cries. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. This is exactly what Jesus is getting at. Like, when it comes to being a Holy Spirit person, that's going to manifest a couple ways. And one of the ways that it shows up in our lives is it shows up as hunger. And that hunger will look like, to everyone around you, it'll look like persistence. Just like a little 7-month-old baby, you know? That baby's like, I don't know what's going on in this house, but someone needs to give me some food. And the baby will cry, and that's just what it does. And by the way, the baby feels no shame in crying, right? And no one's going to go, you stupid baby. You know, there might be someone who would say that, and you would recognize that's a bad person, right? That's a bad person. Don't say that to babies. Just give them what they need. So the more hungry I get, the more serious I get about the search. That's part of what Jesus is underlining here. There's an invitation here for you and I this morning. And the invitation is to get in touch with our hunger for God, to get connected to our appetite for the Spirit. Let that desire manifest in your life and in my life as a kind of persistence. And once we get to this point, that brings up all kinds of questions, like this question. What if I'm just not hungry? You know, some people are here like, this is a great passage, Pastor Adam. This is a great preach. I'm already digging this. I'm a hungry person. I'm a desperate person. I've been looking for God. Like, as soon as the first worship song came on this morning, I am in and I am searching for Jesus. And then maybe some other people here this morning, they're like, I'm not really all that hungry, and I don't care about worship. And I can admit that. Like, I don't know. Like, what if I'm not hungry? What if I'm not hungry? Or what if I don't feel particularly motivated to ask and seek and knock for anything? By the way, how many of you know that's possible, to not be hungry and to not ask, seek, and knock? Totally possible. Why would it be possible? One reason maybe I'm not hungry for God is I'm just filled up on something else. You know? Maybe I'm temporarily satisfying myself in some other way. You know, maybe there's some other thing that I'm chasing. It's so easy for me to satiate myself on something else. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's not just I'm filled up on something else, but maybe I'm spiritually sick or I'm compromised. You know, when my immune system gets run down and I get sick, happens about once a year whenever the locust blooms here in Kentucky. I don't know what it is. I'm so allergic to those things. They attack me. How does that work? How can a tree attack you? But it does. It attacks me. My head stops up. I get the most insane sinus infection. And when that happens, I just lay in my bed. And then Heather's like, do you want me to make you something? And I'm like, no, I just want you to kill me. Just choke me out. Could you? Yeah. She keeps trying to bring me soup. And I'm like, I don't want it. I don't even taste anything. All of a sudden, my appetite is like evaporated. And the reason my appetite's evaporated is because I'm compromised. I'm not healthy. Like, I'm sick. So the invitation towards hunger or towards persistence this morning is also an invitation to sort of investigate the interior of my life and go, well, if I'm not hungry, is it because I've been filled up with something else? Or am I sick? By the way, Jesus says he came for the sick. So if you're sick this morning, it's totally okay. Jesus came for the sick. He's a healer. You know, he can heal that part of our lives. Do I have a hunger for the Spirit? Or am I kind of meh? It's really important to sort of dig down to that. Now, I want to go to number two in our little passage this morning. I want to talk about willingness and goodness. The second thing that shows up here is this teaching from Jesus about willingness. So in verse 11, I think we can put it up. Jesus tells like a different story all of a sudden about fathers. And it's almost like he switches gears. He's been talking about persistence. You should ask, you should see, you should not. Now he's like, I'm going to tell you something else. If a kid comes and he wants a fish or an egg, no dad is going to give a snake or a scorpion. And then he says, you know what? You're not even good people. He's like, Adam, you're not even a good dad. And you wouldn't give your kid a snake. He's like, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give good things, especially the Holy Spirit? So this teaching is about willingness, but it's also about goodness. Like, what is God? Insanely good, insanely generous, and insanely willing. These are the themes that are sitting right here. God is willing to answer. When you ask and you seek and you knock, God is willing. He answers, and he answers with good things. He doesn't give serpents or scorpions. You know, if we're coming to God, we don't have to worry about getting ripped off. That's what Jesus is saying. And we'll just frame this in the charismatic church a little bit. There was a good while there where there was this sort of notion in certain, you know, like cessationist communities or sort of anti-charismatic communities where, you know, you really have to be careful about pursuing the Holy Spirit because you could get a devil. You know, y'all remember that? Yeah, people would be like, man, you really got to be careful about Holy Spirit stuff. You know, you could get deceived. You could really get deceived. You could get a demon. And I was always like, well, what about Luke 11? Jesus said, if you ask, seek, and knock, you won't get a scorpion or a snake. He'd give you the Spirit. So if you're coming to God, guys, you just don't have to worry about getting ripped off, and you don't have to worry about getting tricked into having a devil come into your life, okay? That's part of what he's saying. Like, God is not only willing, but he's good. So it's just like a wonderful thing right away, you know? The desire to seek out God is devil-free. It's just come to God. Even if you don't really know what you're doing, you just come to God and go, I would like one egg. One egg, Lord. And you don't have to worry about getting a bad deal. God is willing. I was thinking this week about the willingness of God, and I was reminded of that moment in Mark chapter 1 when the guy who has leprosy comes to Jesus. He doesn't say to Jesus, if you're able. He says, I know you're able. He says, but if you're willing. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Oh, I think that story is really profound, and I think that's a deeply human story. I think a lot of us know God is able, and we're concerned that he might not be willing. A lot of people are like, I know God's powerful. I just don't know if he cares. Or he might care about those people. I don't know if he cares about me, right? And Jesus looks at the man and goes, I'm willing, and touches him, right? Remember that? Like over and over in Jesus' life and in his teaching, he's telling us God is good and he is willing. That brings us to point number three. There's a paradox here. How many of you have noticed the paradox in this passage? The beginning is Jesus is teaching on persistence. You should ask and keep on asking. You should seek and keep on seeking. And then the second teaching that he gives right after it with no segue is God is willing and good. That brings up some questions for me. If God is willing and good, then why do I have to be persistent? Is that weird to you? That's so strange, isn't it? That is so strange. Why do I need to be persistent if God is so able and willing and good and kind? That seems to be a contradiction. Like, did Jesus glitch in the middle of his message? You know, sometimes things glitch and you all of a sudden you're in a different spot. No, I don't think he was glitching. Sometimes Jesus throws these weird punches at us and he's actually getting at something much deeper. God's generosity actually reframes persistence. I think that's what's going on here. Holy Spirit persistence and Holy Spirit hunger is not, I just want to say a few things here, is not building up faith points. Okay? So when Jesus says you should be persistent and at the same time God is willing and good, he's not saying that in order to get your hunger satisfied or to meet your needs or to have your life filled in God, he's not saying you have to build up enough faith points and when you get to 1,000, then he pulls the lever and everything works. I know that seems silly, but some of us have accumulated that mental frame. He is not saying that we need to twist God's arm. He's not saying that we should prove our sincerity. You know, God, I really mean it this time. He's not waiting for you to mean it. Like, who's ever good enough, by the way? You know, like, who's ever good enough? How many of you have noticed that, like, your desires on the inside, they're always compromised? Have you ever noticed that? Like, who's ever good enough? So God's not asking you to prove your sincerity. And he's not saying that you should be persistent so that you can overcome divine reluctance. You know, prayer is twisting God's arm into doing something he doesn't really want to do. So Jesus explicitly rules all of that out with the Good Father analogy. If persistence were about overcoming God's resistance, that analogy completely collapses. So it's not that. It's literally not that. Instead, persistence is not about changing God's heart. It's about forming whose? Mine. My heart needs formed. And it is formed through persistence and repetition. Here's the turn, I think. Hunger is not a flaw in the spiritual life. It's the engine of the spiritual life. It's how it goes. Persistence clarifies desires and exposes what we actually want versus what we casually want. How many of you know that sometimes I want the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're like me. Sometimes I want God. Sometimes I want what God wants. Sometimes. How many of you know that God is trying to form us into the sort of people who always want the Holy Spirit? Yeah. How would God do that? Persistence. By tuning my hunger and my appetites to persistence. That's how he would do it. Persistence makes us a particular kind of people. This is really important. God gives readily, but he also, this is important, he gives relationally. The Spirit is not a commodity. It's not silver or gold or Bitcoin that you can buy on the market and just, you know, go on your Cash App and buy some. The Holy Spirit is not a commodity. You can't acquire it by pushing a button. The Spirit is God's own life shared with us. That's what the Spirit is. And so there's a relationship there. And how many of you know that relationships require presence, desire, and ongoing openness? Persistence. How many of you know if you want to stay married, it'll require a little persistence? Yeah, require what? Some desire that focuses you and keeps the thing running. Persistence is how hunger stays awake. Now, the shock in verse 13 is the very last thing that Jesus said. This line is doing a lot more work than we think. The more, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's a really big line. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, how much more will your Father in heaven give you things, give you all the things to those who ask him? No, that's not what it says. How much more will your Father in heaven give you every solution? Nope. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the exact outcome that you were looking for? Nope. Instead, the gift is what? God himself. Sometimes God delays answers because he's intent on deepening the ask, not denying it. That's what delay oftentimes is. The Spirit comes to hungry people, not because God withholds from the full, but because the hungry have room. That's why it happens. Like, why does God want you to be hungry? Hunger's a sign that there's actually some space in your life for him. Yeah. So sometimes in order to get me to that spot, there's a delay, you know? I never eat on Sunday morning. I'm a big breakfast guy. Love breakfast. Totally believe in bacon. Love bacon. I never eat on Sunday morning, though. You know, Andrew even brings donuts. I never eat them. Can't do it. I don't know. As soon as church is over, guys, I am so hungry. I go to Jimmy John's and I get that giant one. I mean, I even wait for it. Solid burn. Solid burn. Yeah, dude. The delay, it's making room for more, right? That's one of the reasons God is asking for persistence. It keeps us relationally connected to him, but it's also making room for him to give what only he can give and to do what only he can do. Okay, I want to land here with a few objections. Objections to the Spirit or objections to the text this morning. Objection number one. I asked and I didn't receive. Adam, what about unanswered prayer? I've asked for the Spirit. I didn't get it. I've asked. What's underneath it? Here's what's underneath that objection. Usually real grief. Real loss and real stories. So usually when someone says, you know, I've done that and it didn't work. You know, usually there's a real humdinger of a story in there. Here's maybe a slight reframe from Luke 11. Jesus doesn't promise everything we ask for. Did you notice that in the text this morning? What does he promise that he'll give? Himself. He'll give the Spirit. He will give the Spirit. He will give himself. Sometimes the thing we want is delayed, altered, or even denied, but God never withholds himself. So if you're someone here this morning who's been walking around with some real disappointment, this might not even be the instant elixir that you need. It may take years to work through that, depending on what the disappointment is. But I want you to know, sometimes we don't get the answers we want. Sometimes they're delayed. Sometimes they're out and out denied. The one thing God will never withhold from you is himself. He will give the Spirit to his people. Objection number two, doesn't hunger just lead to striving and burnout? By the way, this is a great question, especially in charismatic communities. I've seen hunger turn into pressure or performing a certain kind of way. What's underneath that little question? People who've been in environments where desire was exploited or manipulated, you know? Maybe you've been in a church environment where the pastor-preacher guy like just sort of started rocking the room with religious manipulation, you know? And you're like, this is gross. I don't like this. Yeah, me neither. I totally get it. And could we, if we wanted to, turn a message into hunger and persistence and desire? Could we turn that into something that's going to put you on the one-way path to striving and trying real hard? Yeah, totally. We could do that. We could totally do that. But biblical hunger is not frantic striving. It's also not emotional hype, and it's not performing or performance intensity. Look again in Luke 11. Hunger in Luke 11 that we just read is quiet, steady, and relational. I think it's instructive that Jesus says, knock, don't kick the door down. Isn't that interesting? You know, like, depending on the religious environment you grew up in, some of us have heard messages like this, and the conclusion is you should kick the door down. Jesus said, if you'll just knock, it'll eventually get opened. I think that's super instructive. Like, in the vineyard, we don't want to make things bigger. In fact, what we want to do is make things smaller. And what that does is actually gives God some room to do what only he can do. One of our deeply held vineyard values when it comes to the ministry of the Spirit is no hype. No hype. One of my friends and mentors, who actually trained the guy who's going to come and hang out with us next week, Ted Kim, one of our friends and mentors is Ted's pastor, the founding pastor where Ted is now, Steve Nicholson. Like, when Steve begins to minister or pray in a room like this, he will never let the band play. I know, I don't care. I sometimes will let the band play. Steve never will. Why? Because he's afraid that the music would emotionally manipulate you into having an experience that's fake. Isn't that interesting? So, by the way, that's so vineyard. That is so vineyard. That is so vineyard. There is no hype. There's no pressure. Our experience of hunger is totally like, Lord, you have to help us. You have to help us. We'll ask, we'll seek, we'll knock. No one has to yell over you. No one has to hit you in the stomach. No one has to beat you up. And no one has to jump through like a flaming hoop or something, you know, like a circus thing. We just don't have to do that. It knocks. It doesn't kick the door down. Like, that should be freedom for some of us in here. Like, you don't have to kick the door down. You don't have to kick it down. You could knock and keep on knocking. Yeah. Objection three. What if I don't feel hungry? We've already talked about this a little bit. Does that mean something's wrong with me? This is actually really huge. By the way, Jesus doesn't shame the numb. Instead, what he does is he invites them. Sometimes the most honest prayer is, God, I want more of you. You know? So if you're not hungry this morning, you can just say, God, could you make me hungry? Like, by the way, that's a gift. That's a gift. You could just pray, Lord, I don't really have much hunger. Would you increase my appetite? Hunger can be prayed for. And desire is also a gift. You just be like, I don't really have much zhuzh in my life. I need some help, Lord. Would you help me? Objection number four. Can hunger turn God into a means to an end? Am I just using God to get something? That's a really good one. This is exactly, I think, why Jesus ends with the Spirit. If the goal in this text were answers, outcomes, and power, this would be really, really dangerous. But Jesus doesn't end this teaching with answers and outcomes and power. Instead, he ends this teaching with God himself. He ends it with the Spirit. Hunger that is aimed at the Spirit doesn't instrumentalize God. I think it's a really big deal. So it's not a means to an end, you know? It's like, God, I need you. I really, really need you. Actually personalizes faith. So here's what I want to do this morning. I just want to pray that we'd be hungry. Is that okay? Yeah. I want to pray that our appetites for God, that our persistent love and hunger for the Spirit would grow because we know that when it does, we're healthy and we're getting active, and God will always answer a prayer for, Lord, I need your Spirit. Like, he will always answer, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for the Spirit. He will always answer that prayer. So that's what we're going to do this morning. If you're on the band, come on up. If you're not on the band, why don't you stand up? We're going to pray here, and then we're going to sing, and then we'll pray again and land.
Thanks again for stopping by the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you'd like to keep up with what's happening at the Vineyard, you can follow us on social media. Until next time.